do you realize the early church didn't even celebrate Christmas? Well, think about it. The first gospel has no mention of the birth of Christ. The Gospel of Mark begins with the baptism of Jesus. They focused on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, not on his birth. Which reminds me, Kate, I should have asked you if I could have told this story. When Kate Wall came to see me about being baptized, and she was just a little girl, I had a little Christmas tree in my office, and I said something about Christmas and Santa Claus, and she looked at me and said, I didn't come here to talk about Santa Claus. I came here to talk about Jesus. That's true, Kate. You had it right from the very beginning. I felt about that tall. The early church didn't pay any attention to Christmas. But after Matthew's mystical account of the star in the east and the majestic magi, and after Luke's glorious story of shepherds and angels proclaiming the birth of the baby in the manger, and after John's thunderous theological treatise on the incarnation, the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, the church started to celebrate the nativity. And it was preceded by a season of preparation. Just as Easter has a season of preparation named Lent, the season of Advent prepared us for the celebration of Jesus' birth. But the question was, what type of season should this be? Lent, as you know, is a very somber season. It's a time of prayer and fasting and reflection and introspection. And originally, this was the mood of Advent, which is why the color of Lent is purple. And the color of Advent, at least still in our church, remains purple. But it just didn't feel right. There was something different about Advent. Advent was a season of great anticipation and expectancy. Long ago and far away, I studied the season of Advent. It was the subject of my doctoral dissertation, and which is why it was long ago and far away. But I came to the conclusion back then that Advent was a season of hope, that hope should be the dominant theme of the season. Believing in the not yet. Believing that one day these great prophecies of peace and goodwill would come to pass. You know, I still believe that. I still believe that hope should be the dominant theme of the season. But if I could go back and amend that dissertation, I would add one thing. Advent is the season of light. It is a celebration of the light that comes into the darkness. Have you noticed that the days are getting shorter? And over the next 4 weeks, darkness will continue slowly and steadily to invade our world. But for every minute of darkness that is added, in the season of Advent, we will light a candle. We will turn on the light. Through the candles of our Advent wreath and the bright lights of our Christmas tree, as we anticipate that great service on Christmas Eve, when we all will light candles in the darkness and we sing of a silent night when all is calm and all is bright. And we will transform the darkness into glorious light. In this powerful Advent scripture that Tobin read for us just a moment ago, it tells us it's time for us to wake up. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The light has come. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Today is a new day. We dedicated babies today. Today is a day of hope and a day of promise to focus on the light and the love of God. Today is a day to put the past behind us. As Jesus said, we should put our hand to the plow and we should put our hand to the plow and hold on. You did remember. That's wonderful. But you know the problem that we have and the problem I think the church has is that we look at the darkness of the world. We look at all the things that Tobin read about in the scripture. And our tendency is to immediately condemn it. We flee from it. We distance ourselves from the darkness. We judge the darkness. But what Christ is calling us to do is not to judge the darkness, but to transform the darkness into light. Jesus didn't come to condemn the darkness, but he came to transform the darkness, and he does that through love. Love divine, all loves excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Jesus, thou art all compassion. Pure, unbounded love thou art. And this was the love that taught us to love our enemies, to forgive 70 times 7, to turn the other cheek. Jesus spent time with sinners, with people who lived in the darkness. His vision of love radically altered the human community, and he taught his followers to live as equals beyond the conventional barriers of race and gender, language, ethnicity, lifestyle, religion, and social status. But I think the problem that we've always had in the church is we've always built barriers between ourselves and the world. But Jesus, who is the light of the world, challenges us to engage ourselves with the darkness and to transform it into glorious light. One of the reasons that I love the Chrismon tree is the story of how it started. Francis Spencer, who grew up on the mission field with missionary parents, didn't just wake up one day and said, you know, I think we need to have a Chrismon tree. The story goes something like this. In 1956, she walks into the sanctuary of her church in Danville, Virginia, the Lutheran Church of the Ascension, and she stops. She's horrified because somebody has put up a Christmas tree with colored lights and Santa Claus ornaments, and she cannot believe it. She said, this is what's wrong with Christmas. Now, this was 1956, but even then, there was the commercialization, and it's becoming too secular and all of that. She started to judge it. She started to condemn it, and then she stopped. And she said, what good is it going to do for me to complain about this and to judge the people who no doubt had good intentions when they put up this beautiful Christmas tree? So instead, she decides to transform it. And she goes to the pastor, and she said, listen, next year, if you need a volunteer to put up the Christmas tree, I'll be glad to do it. He said, you got it. So the first thing she did, she changed the lights from colored lights to white lights to proclaim the light of the world. And all of the ornaments she created herself, handmade ornaments, and each ornament proclaimed something about Jesus and the gospel and the story of salvation. And she came up with the term Chrismon, a Christ monogram. I think it is a remarkable story that out of a situation that she saw as negative, that she saw as darkness, she transformed it into something beautiful and powerful and glorious. When there is darkness, we are called upon to share light. In the 1990s, the city of Billings, Montana, had a population of about 100,000. They started to experience a number of hate crimes. There were just a handful of Jewish families who lived in Billings. And as these families prepared to celebrate Hanukkah, there was a little 5-year-old boy named Isaac. And his mother stenciled a menorah on his bedroom window, just like we would put up a Christmas tree or have a Christmas wreath or the symbol of a manger. One night, when little Isaac was sleeping, a brick was hurled through the window, and thankfully, the little boy was not hurt. But when the police came to investigate, they told the mother that the best thing would be that the menorah not be replaced because it was too dangerous. They did an article about this in the paper, and the mother was quoted as saying, "What am I supposed to tell my little boy? That I can't have a menorah because it is too dangerous." Well, there was a Christian mother who read the story. And she started thinking about her children and how much they love Christmas and the symbols of Christmas. And she said, "What if I had to tell them that we couldn't have a Christmas tree, that we couldn't have a Christmas wreath because it's not safe?" And so she decided to transform the darkness. She called her pastor. He in turn called all the local ministers in Billings. And the next Sunday, almost every minister addressed the hate crime that had taken place, and they shared the mother's suggestion for transforming the darkness into light. That Sunday afternoon, menorahs started to appear in the windows of Christian homes. Phil, I think I lost my wireless. Something kicked out here. Well, I've lost it all. But you can hear me, can't you? So that Sunday afternoon, menorahs started to appear in the homes of Christian families. And by the next Sunday, they estimated there were over 6,000 homes that had menorahs in the window. But the hate people did not go quietly. In addition to what they did, a Catholic high school had... Here, we're back on now. We'd like to welcome our radio audience back. What I was saying is that the Christian people started to put menorahs in their windows. A Catholic high school put the message, "Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends," on its outdoor sign. Christians organized a prayer vigil in front of the local synagogue for the Sabbath service. A Methodist church even had a public menorah display on their lawn. A local sporting goods store put this message on a large billboard, "Not in our town, no hate, no violence, peace on earth." The darkness did not disappear. The billboard was riddled with gunshots. The windows of the Catholic high school were smashed. The windows of the Methodist church were broken. The car windows of one of the Christian families that displayed a menorah was smashed, and they left a note that read, "Jew lover." But the darkness could not extinguish the light. It only strengthened the movement. More and more people put menorahs in their windows, and finally, they overcame the darkness. You know, that's who Jesus called us to be the lover of Jews, to be the lover of Gentiles, to be the lover of saints, to be the lover of sinners, to be the lover of all of humanity. For the people who have walked in the darkness have seen a great light. And so as we begin this season of Advent, let us be the proclaimers of light in the darkness. Let us not run from the darkness, but let us transform the darkness with the power and the love of God. Let us choose light over darkness. Let us choose love over hate. Let us choose compassion over condemnation. Let us choose forgiveness over retaliation, clarity over confusion, acceptance over exclusion, and let us choose Jesus, who is the light of the world. Amen.